Listen, for I will tell you a mystery. We sing for all the unsung saints, that countless, nameless throng, who kept the faith and passed it on with hope steadfast and strong. Through all the daily griefs and joys, no chronicles record, forgetful of their lack of fame, but mindful of their Lord. These are the days when the light fades early, when it seems as if night falls faster. These are the days when the branches become bare, when even in the Bay Area, we know that winter is coming. These are the days when generation upon generation of our ancestors grew still, listened, watched, as the veil that separates us, life from death, from life, grows thin. Several months ago, I was in conversation with our Bishop Mark Andrus, a conversation that transformed how I have come to know these days. He and I were talking about the mystery, the beauty, the deeply felt emotion that comes forward this time of year with the celebration of All Hallows' Eve, All Saints' Day, and All Souls' Day. We talked about the practice that we in this parish have held for many years of building an ofrenda to very intentionally remember those we have loved, but see no longer. This is good, Bishop Mark said. This is good, but what if alongside the people and the life of your family, what if you remembered some of those who went before you in your common life at All Souls? What would it be like to bring them to the altar as well? So close your eyes for a moment, right? And let's imagine them coming to worship for over 100 years, thousands and thousands of souls. What would that be like indeed? The Reverend Dr. Herbert H. Powell, he's on the far side. The Reverend Dr. Herbert H. Powell was not necessarily the most likely candidate to become an Episcopal priest or the dean of a seminary. Dr. Powell grew up in West Virginia in the late 1800s and dropped out of high school to work in the coal mines. One day, while he was underground, an explosion shook the mine, and in the chaos, the miners were rushed to the surface. Herbert Powell had been terribly wounded, his left arm crushed. One man on the scene, after seeing what had happened to Herbert, had compassion for his plight and visited him in the hospital, and he kept visiting, eventually encouraging Herbert to return to school and eventually to go on to seminary. As Dr. Powell himself later said, "I didn't know I had a head until I lost an arm." The Reverend Dr. Powell came to be a part of our story because, well, simply put, he kept showing up. Even as he taught at the Church Divinity School of the Pacific, then located on the grounds of Grace Cathedral in San Francisco, Dr. Powell lived here in Berkeley on El Dorado Avenue. And when All Souls was in need of a priest to guide it, the Reverend Dr. Herbert H. Powell answered the call. Not once, not twice, but three times. During World War I, when our rector was serving with the YMCA, serving the troops, Dr. Powell showed up here at All Souls. When that rector left, and before the next rector arrived, Dr. Powell showed up again. And then when that priest had left, and before the next rector was here, Dr. Powell showed up again. All this, even as he taught, with all the demands of a growing seminary, and while the Spanish influenza epidemic was raging, Herbert Powell showed up here. Right? Even if he did refuse to preach with his mask on. Right? He said you can't preach with a mask on, so he would just let it dangle from one ear. Week after week, month after month, year after year, when this congregation needed his presence, he showed up. So often, I believe we mistake grand gesture for simply being present. And friends, this is central to what it means to be a saint, to show up. I think that all too often when we think of saints, we think of tremendous heroism, of bravery in the midst of death, and of holiness beyond reproach. And there are those saints. But our reading from the letter to the Ephesians actually gives us a much simpler understanding of what a saint is. Because in this letter and throughout the New Testament, the most commonly used title for Christians is the Greek word hagioi, what we translate as saint. Most literally read as holy ones, or the holy ones. It is not a category reserved for holier than thou, but for those, as one theologian has written, for those who have been engrafted into God's kingdom that is ruled by forgiveness and love. In this passage from Ephesians, it is clear that God's vision is a vision for all in all to be numbered among the saints. But we may not always be able to see this at the start. Which brings me to the next saint of All Souls Parish, Major Mueller. Born Mary Martha Watts, Major Mueller was by many accounts a kind, sweet, and very determined lady. The story of All Souls Parish tells us that at the annual meeting on February 12, 1957, it was proposed that women be allowed to serve on the leadership body of this congregation, the vestry. As you might expect, months of study ensued. Then, this was the breaking news on December 10, 1957, that same year. It came in the form of Article 2 of the amended bylaws, Qualifications of Vestrymen. The rector of the parish, if there be one, shall be a vestry man, ex officio. The remaining nine shall be lay persons qualified to vote for vestry men in the parish, a majority of whom shall be men. A majority of men of vestry men. Changing one's language, to say nothing of one's entrenched patterns, is not often an easy thing. For 1 month later, the ballot for three positions for vestry was filled with six men. Major Mueller stood up and was nominated from the floor, but lost narrowly on the second ballot. That next year, 1959, the ballot for three positions on vestry was again filled with six men. Once more, Major Mueller stood up and was nominated from the floor. This time, though, for the first time in the history of this body, she was elected. Now, I've spent the last several weeks attempting to learn how and why it was that Major Mueller was the one to break this trail. Unfortunately, our history, oral and written, does not contain this account. But I also wanted to track down the story of why she was called Major. Right? Because a woman born in 1898 in Louisville, Kentucky, named Major, there has to be a story there. Well, thanks to Major's nieces, this week I learned that when Mary Martha was a little girl, her mother was amazed at her posture. Even as a small child, she stood straight and firm. and tall. Like a little major, her mother said. And from that moment on, she was Mary Martha no more. Now, friends, it is not always clear what it takes to stand up for what is right, because the societal, the cultural, the religious norms and mores and laws, these powers can overwhelm the best of us. We hope that if we are the ones in that crux, right, in that moment of history, whether it be on the Pettus Bridge or in Perry v. Schwarzenegger, or just when we know that a wrong has been said or done, that we will stand for the kingdom of compassion and forgiveness. And so I wonder, how does one do that? Well, straight and firm and tall sounds about right. Like a major Mueller. For when the Spirit moved, this saint of All Souls Parish was not afraid to stand up. Listen, I will tell you a mystery. Though uninscribed with date or place, with title, rank, or name, as living stones, their stories join to form a hallowed frame. Around the mystery in their midst, the lamb once sacrificed, the love that wrested life from death, the wounded risen Christ. Some decades ago, from that corner, the corner of Cedar and Spruce, through those very copper doors, one Sunday morning came an expecting 24-year-old woman named Eileen Van Hewitt. All right, and she came with her young husband Carl and their 2-year-old toddler. Now, I don't know how many of you have taken a 2-year-old toddler or someone a little younger to church recently, but it's not always the most peaceful or the most relaxing entry to worship possible. And my guess is that that Sunday, Eileen might have been a bit overwhelmed. And so, as love would have it, it was two of the first people that she met at All Souls Parish who were Jack and Anna Graves. Generous, warm, and loving people, by all accounts, they took Eileen and Carl and their growing family under their wing. For Eileen, it felt like having parents around. And because of Anna and Jack's open embrace, and because of their teenage daughter who babysat, for Carl and Eileen, it was like they had arrived at the place that they had been looking for. Does that sound familiar? This seems to be a charism, a gift that the Graves had, this ability to welcome people in, to share their lives with others, no matter their age. These saints of All Souls Parish have given this to the DNA of this community, right? An intergenerational family of families that grafts on new shoots of grandfather and granddaughter, of mother and son. For these saints, receiving a stranger was opportunity to break open and to share their lives. And so it is that we come to this day. This day we celebrate all the saints who feast at the banquet prepared from the foundation of the world. This feast that stretches back with those from decades and centuries and millennia before us. The feast that we will share this day at this table, and the feast that will most vividly be seen in Lucy and Emmy, right? We will baptize them in a matter of moments, and in them we see the feast with those yet to come. All too often, friends, we pretend as if we were not worthy for this feast, as if it were prepared for those holier than us. Perhaps it's the possibility of being seen as saints or the responsibility that comes with it. And yet, if Herbert Powell and Major Mueller and Jack and Anna Graves are any measure, this is what it means to be a saint. To show up, to stand up and to share this kingdom of compassion and forgiveness. At this corner that Herbert Powell came to lead God's people, from a patent that Major Mueller gave this parish herself in honor of her sister, and with the embrace that Jack and Anna Graves offered in this holy space week after week after week. Again, listen, for I will tell you a mystery. So we take heart from unknown saints bereft of earthly fame, those faithful ones who have received a more enduring name. For they reveal true blessing comes when we our pride efface and offer back our lives to be the vessels of God's grace.